Today is Friday, March 6, 2009. We're at the New York State Military Museum in Saratoga Springs, New York. The interviewer's name is Wayne Clark. And sir, for the record, would you please state your full name, your date and place of birth?
Anthony Alberico, born in Hicksville, Long Island, 10/27/21.
Okay, did you attend school there?
No, I was born there, but I moved to Jackson Heights, where I went to started school.
Okay.
Elementary school, and then I graduated from there and went to a trade school in Long Island City, took up electrical and radio.
Okay. What year did you graduate from high school?
Oh, 38.
Oh, okay, and then you went to a trade school?
No, that's when I ended up quitting trade school after 2 years of schooling, and then I went to work.
Okay.
So that was in 38.
Okay, and where were you when you heard about Pearl Harbor?
I must have been working with my uncle.
Okay. All right.
38. Yeah.
Okay, that happened December 7th, 1941.
Right.
All right. Did you enlist or were you drafted?
No, I got my greetings when I was 21.
Okay.
And then I left Flushing, the town, next town where we were stationed, and went to, I think it was Atlantic City. Or Fort Dick, rather.
Okay, and do you remember when that was? Was it in 42?
Oh, yes.
1942?
Okay. Yes. And from there we went to, was that March? I think it was March.
March of 42?
Yeah. I think that's when I got in. I don't know how my disc jockey papers would be, but I think it was 42 in March.
Okay. And so you were drafted into the Army.
I got my greenings, yeah. I was drafted. Well, I didn't know what I was in when I was drafted at Fort Dix. Then they sent us to Miami. And that's when we found out we were going to be in the Army Air Corps.
Okay. Were you happy about that?
Well, first time in the service, I don't know what to expect. The first thing you learn is don't volunteer for nothing. But anyway, we were there for, I don't know, a couple of 3 weeks, and the first thing you know, I took some kind of a test, and I'm in Goldsboro, North Carolina, to airplane mechanic school.
Okay, now did you have a basic training before you went to the mechanics school?
2 weeks or 3 weeks in Florida, in Miami, and that was it.
Just 3 weeks. And what did they teach you down there?
Oh, calisthenics and marching in the streets. It wasn't a camp. It was right in town.
Okay.
We were in a hotel right in town.
All right. Did you have uniforms at that point?
Oh, yeah. The old GI issue there.
Okay.
And like I say, then we went to Goldsboro, North Carolina. We were there for a while. And then the first thing I know, I finished that course.
Now, what did they teach in that course?
Airplane mechanics on an engine, on an airplane engine, a radial engine.
Okay, so you were going to be an engine mechanic.
I thought so, too, yeah.
Okay.
And that course was finished. The first thing I know, I took another test, and I'm in gunnery school.
Now, where was your gunnery school? Was that in Kingman? I heard you mention Kingman, Arizona before.
No, that was, we used to fly over water. I can't remember.
Okay.
I know we used to fly over water.
Okay, do you remember what state it was in? Okay. It probably was.
Well, it could have been. I don't quite remember.
All right.
I don't remember that.
Okay. Now, your gunnery school, did they tow like a...
A sock, a big sock.
A sock behind the airplane and you had to shoot at it.
Yeah, right. We had...
Did you shoot from the ground at it?
No. We were in another plane.
Okay.
And that's the first time I flew.
You got sick?
Oh, God, yeah. I never flew before.
All right. What type of gun did you train on?
A 50 caliber.
50 caliber?
Yeah, it was a two. The plane pulling the sock was an AT-6 with a big, maybe a 200-foot lead in the sock.
Okay.
And we had a two-engine job, and they mounted a 50 caliber in the side window.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we shot at the target.
All right.
And then I finished that course. I don't know.
Now, did you receive a set of wings when you completed that course? Gunnery wings?
When did I receive my wings? I think that's when we finished gunnery school.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
It must. I had to be. I got my wings, and no stripes yet.
Okay, so you're still a private.
I'm still a private.
All right. And where did you go next?
From gunnery school, we ended up at Douglas Aircraft out in California.
Mm-hmm.
And they were making 17s at that time there. And with us, I had no crew yet. And when the 17 was finished, it was only I don't even remember if they were civilian pilot and co-pilot and me on board, that's it.
Uh-huh.
And we flew to some base in Spokane, Washington, and that's where we formed the crew. There's a bulletin board, and the crew was formed at the name of the base, I don't remember. It's in Spokane,
okay.
Washington.
So you were going to be a gunner on a B-17.
Top turret gunner, engineer gunner.
All right. Now, with that aircraft, did you go to school with any of the other gunners that became a crew?
Well, when we formed the crew at... I say Spokane. Well, I don't know the name of the base, but we practiced flying after we...
Okay.
With the crew at that base.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recall how long we were there.
Okay.
And, I don't know. Let's say a couple of months, I guess.
And you flew with the same crew all the time?
Then we established our crew.
Okay.
And then we got word, I don't know how long after, we were supposed to fly with a group to England.
Uh-huh.
And then they didn't have enough of planes, B-17s.
Yep.
So they sent us by boat to England.
Okay, now, did you get any kind of leave before you went to England? Did you get to go home at all?
I think it was better than a year before I ever got home.
Okay. All right, so you went to England by ship?
By ship.
Did the rest of your crew go with you on the same ship?
Yes. The pilot, co-pilot, and the rest of the crew all were on board.
How did you guys all get along as a crew? Were you all pretty friendly?
Oh, yes. We never saluted each other or the bombardier, the pilot, co-pilot, navigator were officers.
Uh-huh.
I, Carey, I, Ross, or whatever their name was. And they hung out to their bunch, and we, the enlisted men hung out amongst ourselves.
Okay. So you went over to England by ship?
By ship.
Was it in a convoy or a single ship?
No, we went all along. All along.
Do you recall the name of the ship? I know a lot of guys went on the Queen Mary. Mauritania.
I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, that may have been it. We went all on our own every 6 minutes, zigzagging.
Okay.
Well, we finally made it to Liverpool.
Okay. Did you get seasick at all?
Oh, yeah.
Now, how was the food aboard the ship?
I don't think we ate too much. No, I don't think we ate too much.
Okay.
We were mostly on deck, though, half of the time. You're seasick, you know.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't that rough, I didn't think, but we finally got to England okay.
Okay, so you landed in Liverpool.
Liverpool. We were probably there a day or so. And then we ended up at the base at Paddington, England.
Okay.
And that's when we joined the group. 327th of the 92nd Bomb Group.
Okay. Now, was that part of the 8th Air Force?
The Army, it was the Army 8th Air Force.
Right.
They were under the Army regulations, though.
Okay.
And we started flying.
Did you start with training missions first, or did you go away into combat?
Right to combat.
Okay.
Well, we practiced formation flying in the States. Well, not with as many planes as we did in England, but in the United States, most we ever flew was with three planes.
Uh-huh.
Lead, one, two. But then when we got to England, right on a mission.
Okay. And according to the paperwork I have, your first mission was December 30th, 1943?
Yes.
Do you remember much about that mission, your first mission?
Where did we go to?
It looks like it was Ludwigshafen, Germany.
Ludwigshafen, Germany.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. What was that like, being on your first mission?
You don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for the fighter escort they had, but when we were flying, when we started flying, the missions were 25.
Uh-huh.
And the fighters used to only come in with us so far, and then they left, and then that's when you get hit with fighters. Flak, you get them going in the coast.
Mm-hmm.
We used to call them the Dana Boom Boys. They were pretty good. There wasn't too many of them, but they were pretty good, accurate. And they used to knock down a couple now and again.
Okay. Now, that first mission, did your aircraft take any hits at all? Okay, it doesn't mention that you did, so.
Well, I think there's another page to that one.
Okay. Okay. Remember approximately how long that was? Were you on the airplane several hours?
Oh, that should be on there. On the second page, maybe.
Okay, you hit the target about 12:30. Oh, okay, you took off at 1800. All right. Okay, so you guys dropped your bomb load.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then headed home. What was it like when you landed? Were you really relieved?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it was that mission or not, but it may have been that mission. When we were in the States, we never flew high altitude.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it says you flew at 21,500 feet.
Right.
And the air temperature was 42 degrees below zero.
Oh, it's cold. At that time, we used to have woolen suits.
Uh-huh.
The thick woolen suits, boots, pants, jacket.
Okay. Were they the electric suits?
No, they came out after, thank God. Yeah, and then with a parachute harness on top of that, you couldn't hardly move. And mm-hmm. I couldn't wear a seat parachute because I was in a turret.
Uh-huh.
So I had a chest pack, which was I had to leave on the floor right by the turret.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you had a, if you went in a dive or something and that thing moved, you're a dead duck, you know, you uh-huh. can't find it. But anyway.
Okay, so you landed and you had completed your first mission.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That was a relief, yeah.
Okay. Normally, how long was it between each mission?
I think we'd fly 3 days and off two.
3 days and off two?
Two.
Okay. What did you do with your off time?
Get some sack time or hit the first pub right off the base. The pubs all over England, you know.
How did you get along with the civilian population?
Oh, fine. I mean, to learn their money, you take out a pound note, and if they gave you the right change or not, I don't know. So.
Okay. All right. without going through the whole book here, when was the first time that your aircraft had received damage or had taken fire?
I think the second mission there we lost, we got hit. First thing you know, either the, well, I'm sure it was from the flak.
Uh-huh.
Must have made holes in the engine. And once you oil all over the place, and what you got to do, otherwise the motor, the engine will keep running, and it could cause a fire. My biggest fear was fire all the time. And we had to feather the prop, and then the other one conked out, number two and three engine conked out.
Okay, did you continue with the mission or turn around?
No, you got to drop out of formation. And we called for whatever the code of the day was, a pilot knew.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing you know, we got an escort, a P-47, alongside of us. In the meantime, we dropped the ball turret. I think it was that mission anyway. I think it was that mission. And like I say, you can't keep up with the formation, so you got to drop down.
Okay. So what did you do with the bombs aboard the...
Drop them.
You just dropped them?
Drop them.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I'm ahead of myself. One time, we bought them back. We couldn't bomb the target.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it was that time. We used to bring them back. But then we ran off the runway.
Uh-huh.
Because with the bomb load, I don't know, taking off, you know, you're coming back, you're only doing maybe 90, 100 miles an hour landing.
Mm-hmm.
So we ran off the runway, and then eventually we used to drop them.
Mm-hmm.
Drop them in a channel, or if we were over Germany, we'd just let them go.
Okay.
But in France, we wouldn't bomb, drop them, we'd drop them in the channel.
Okay.
So,
do you remember any one particular mission over others that was particularly bad for you?
Well, the English were bombing at night. Mm-hmm. They used to bomb Berlin and all that, but at night, but they just bomb they couldn't see their targets, so they just bombed. Hopefully that they hit their target. But the worst one is when we started pulling the raids to Berlin. Mm-hmm. We were the first group that went to Berlin during the day. And I think the first mission was an overcast. And we went to another target. Of course, they give you a secondary target.
Mm-hmm.
And we bombed whatever target that was. And the flak at Berlin was terrible. I don't know how many guns they had there, but the sky was black.
Mm-hmm.
And we made it. And we came back. And then I think, well, we never bombed Berlin. We went to the secondary target. And then I think the next day we went again. I think we went 3 days in a row to Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
Or one, maybe missed one day. And that was a rough target. That was a rough target.
Were anyone on your aircraft injured or wounded at all in any of the raids?
Yes. Well, besides holes in the wing and stuff from flak or the fighter bullets, but the bombardier got hit.
Mm-hmm.
Came right through the nose of the plane and hit him in the arm. He got enough of a wound to get the Purple Heart.
Uh-huh.
I forgot what mission that was. But we all came back.
Okay. Was he the only one that was ever wounded on any of your missions?
Yes.
Okay.
I gotta tell you this one. My biggest fear on board was fire, because what are you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're on fire. So, even with an oxygen mask on, I smell smoke.
Uh-huh.
On fire. So I ducked down, I could see the pilot, there's the pilot, this is before we got to the mission. A cigarette in one hand and the oxygen in the other. I said, you skipped. You know, I smell smoke, oh my God, we're on fire somehow.
Now, did you always fly in the same airplane most of the time?
Most of the time, Johnny Walker II, yes.
Okay, now what was the name of your airplane?
Johnny Walker II.
Johnny Walker II, okay.
Yeah, I don't know whatever happened to it. And then we got, I don't know why we switched one time. Then they used to be great. And then, this is later on in the, I don't know how many missions we had. We got a new one. It was silver. It
mm-hmm.
wasn't even painted then. At the end, they didn't even bother to paint them anymore.
Uh-huh.
And
did that have a name?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I know it was a new one because you could smell the new airplane.
Uh-huh. Now, the jacket you wore, was that painted with any kind of painting on it or anything?
I didn't have a painting on it. The only thing I had the insignia sold on Aliyuk dropping a bomb.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I had on. But the waist gunner had a 17 dropping bombs on his. There's always somebody that paints the insignias
uh-huh.
on, but I didn't bother. And
okay. What did you think of the B-17?
Terrific. Terrific airplane.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of 24s, B-24s. And there was a few in England, but most of them were out of Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to call them a flying boxcar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I never flew in one.
Okay, now your last mission, actually, I see here by looking through your book here, you flew more than 25 missions.
Yes, they upped it to 30. When I got there, it was 25.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, I had 10 or 12 missions there or something. They upped it to 30 because they were getting a little easier. And the Luftwaffe, we didn't see too many, I guess they were running out of gas or whatever the reason they couldn't make the planes fast enough, because we were bombing all their factories. See, we used to bomb certain factories and stuff, where the English at night just bombed whatever. If mm-hmm. they hit it, they hit it. If they didn't, they didn't hit it. But we had specific targets. Bonn was...
What were they, like refineries you were bombing, or factories?
Factories mostly, rail yards.
Uh-huh.
We bombed them V2 sites on the coast of France a couple of times.
Okay.
They were built runs because they were right on the coast and hit and run, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Schweinfurt, that was a ball bearing factory. Berlin had all kinds of factories going in Berlin. Stuttgart had some there. But anyway, they were all factories or where they made planes or tanks or whatever mm-hmm. they made. That's what our targets were.
Okay. All right. So your 30th mission, were you nervous because you knew that was the last one?
Oh, you sweat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Figure, hey, one more to go, let me make it. Uh-huh. Well, he said if you made 12 missions, if you made your 13 mission, you had it made.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, that's just a saying, you know.
Yeah. Now, what was it like when you landed after the 30th mission? Was there a lot of celebration?
Not really. I finished with another crew. Well, the ball turret fell behind. He got a foot infection, and he was in the hospital for about a month. And he lost missions with our crew.
I see.
And I don't know what mission it was. I flew with a cold, not to lose a mission with my regular crew. And at that time, we didn't have radar. When you come in, it's always cloudy and foggy in England.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come in on a radio beam, and once you hit that beam, you got to come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't go around again or something. So we came in, and my head couldn't depressurize or whatever happened. My head felt twice the size, and I had to go to a pressure chamber, and then they brought me down gradually.
Uh-huh.
But I was in the hospital about 3 or 4 days, and I lost missions with the rest of the crew.
I see.
And then you make it up with another crew,
mm-hmm.
and that's when you really sweat. Okay. So,
all
but
right.
anyway, I
so-
mean,
so after your 30th mission, what happened next? Did you get shipped home right away, or did you stay on the ground? Or?
No. I had met my wife there. I married an English girl.
Mm-hmm.
The waist gunner married an English girl. the ball turret man married an English girl. But they got married over there. I didn't. I kept in touch with my wife, and I got her over here. It took me a year to get her over.
Uh-huh.
So to stay there, they started pulling raids from England to whatever they were bombing and go to Italy. From Italy, they'd bomb whatever and go to Russia. And from Russia, they'd bomb whatever and come back to England. And what we were doing is we didn't have the bombs. We had a big monster radio in the Bombay,
mm-hmm.
And we'd just fly up along the channel, about 25,000 feet or 20,000, whatever it was. And we would pick up the messages and relay them back to base. And I did that for about 3 months.
Okay.
And then...
Now, did the rest of your crew stay and do that too, or did they go back?
I think the waist gunner, the tail gunner, I think the bombardier and the navigator came home.
Mm-hmm.
And we had another crew. We formed another crew with our balance of our crew, a couple that were left.
Okay.
And we formed another 10 guys to fly on this relay ship.
Okay. Now, did you stay with the same unit?
Oh, yes. 92nd, 327th.
Okay. But you didn't have to go on any more bombing raids?
No. No. We had finished. Well, then it was getting easier because then I think invasion was there. And,
Okay. Now, did you stay in England till the end of the war, or did you go back?
No. I came home after I think we threw that relay ship about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they cut it out. And then we came home by boat.
Okay. Well, do you remember when you came back? Approximately. Was that in 44?
Late 44.
Late 44?
Yeah. Late 44. Who's that? When did I say I went in March?
42.
No, what month?
You said you went in March of 42.
I come out in March.
Yeah, that was normal. You come out the same month. Of course, the year would be different.
Okay. I guess that's, yeah.
So you probably got out in March of probably 45 or 46.
Well, no. When I came back to the States, they asked me if I wanted to pull another tour down the South Pacific. I just had to go.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'll get sent close to home, Fort Dix or Fort Totten or someplace close by. They sent me to Laredo, Texas, on a gunnery range. That was a terrible town, but.
So you were an instructor?
A gunnery instructor on a gunnery range. Yeah.
Okay. What was that like? Did you work a regular schedule? Monday through Friday.
Yeah, I had a mate. I had the skeet range, shotguns.
Yeah.
And doing that was fun.
So you were like a shotgun instructor.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the idea is you got to lead the talk.
Sure. You know? Yep.
So that worked out. And then I had my points, and I started getting out.
Okay. And when you brought your wife over, were you still in the service or were you a civilian?
No, I was a civilian.
You were a civilian, okay.
I got my discharge from Texas, right up Texas.
Okay, did the war end when you were discharged? Or did it end after?
I was home on furlough when the Germans gave up.
Okay. So that was April of 45.
Yes, I was home on furlough.
Okay. Do you remember what your reaction was when you heard about the death of President Roosevelt?
Oh, yes. You know what I found out just the other day? When was that, the Thursday?
When he flew to Casablanca. How he got to Casablanca.
How we got the Casablanca, do you know? Meet with Winston Churchill.
Uh-huh.
Do you know how we got there? I didn't even know we went there. But he had a meeting with Winston Churchill. We just went to a meeting in Poughkeepsie there. And they had a talk there about World War II, and the guy was telling us how secretly it was.
He usually traveled by ship, I think.
No, I didn't know that myself. He was in Hyde Park.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from Washington, rather. He's got a place in Hyde Park. From Washington, he came north, turned the train around, went south to someplace.
Florida.
They put him on two flying boats, and they sent him to wherever he met
Churchill. Okay.
But anyway.
Now, do you remember where you were when you heard about the dropping of the atomic bomb? Were you out of the service at that point, or were you still in when the war with Japan ended?
When did they drop that bomb?
It was August of 45. Okay.
I was out.
Okay.
Because that's when the B-29s, the 17s, petered out. They come in with the B-29,
yep.
So, I'm sure I was out then.
Okay. All right. When you got out of the service, did you make use of the GI Bill at all?
I had a home loan. I bought a house for $8,000.
Okay, so you used the GI Bill to buy the house?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, did you go on to school at all?
Back to school? No.
Okay.
After about 15 years, maybe? More?
50
years, she finally got me my diploma.
Oh, okay.
From high school.
Okay.
From the trade school.
Did you join any veterans organizations?
I joined the American Legion.
Okay. Do you belong to the 8th Air Force Association?
In Savannah, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Have you attended any reunions at all?
Yes. Some of them. They had a reunion. 92nd, what was that?
In Savannah.
In Savannah. At the 8th Air Force Museum down there.
Okay. Did you keep in contact with anyone you served in the service with?
Well, there's a couple of stories about that. When I said I had my points, so long, guys. Well, time goes on. Well, I kept in touch with the one of the waste gunners. He was in Minnesota. Minnesota. And the ball tour came from Rochester, New York, and I kept in touch with them too. And 40 years later, they had the dedication of the Memphis Belle, a B-17, the first B-17 that made its 25 missions. They were dedicating it in Mud Island, Memphis, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And our radio man came from Olive Branch, Mississippi, which is right on the border. So whatever my daughter did, she gets in touch. I just try to get in touch with him. He comes from Olive Branch, Mississippi. Well, she made some phone calls, and she got in touch with his cousin or somebody. So they called him back and said, oh, he moved to Gulfport, Mississippi. So whatever my daughter did, she got in touch with him, and I spoke to him, Flynn. I called him by his last name, Flynn. His name is Clarence Flynn. I said, I'm coming down to see the dedication of the Memphis Belle. I said, you want to meet me there? She said, okay. I said, I don't know where to... I never was there, so I don't know where to meet you. So I said, the best thing to do, hang around in the pilot area where, you know, they must have a room there where the pilots hang out.
Yeah.
Well, the wife and I go down there, and I go there, and I'm like, nobody's there. And I walk around. They had an air show there at the same time, and I'm walking around. And I said, that bum never showed up. So I meet this cop, patrol in there. I says, I'm looking for a guy from Mississippi. He says, well, they had a loudspeaker out in the field there. He says, go down there and have them call them on the loudspeaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And Clarence Flynn and somebody's here looking for you. Nobody showed up. I mean, I figured, you didn't show up. So I says, I go back and look at the planes and I meet the same cop. He says, you won't believe this. He says, there's a guy from Mississippi looking for a guy from New York. And there he is over there, and I met him after 40 years.
Did he look the same or did he change?
He got a little happier like everybody else. Well, the same thing happened to the pilot. Before we split up, the pilot had gotten the names and addresses of all the crew,
mm-hmm.
and we all had a copy of these addresses. But back then, they didn't have no zip codes. This is before I met Flynn mm-hmm. down in Memphis. So I wrote them all a letter stating who I was, and I went to the postal and trying to get the zip code. In the meantime, they had zip codes.
Yep.
So I try to get as many zip codes as I can from the addresses that I had without the zip code. Well, I got them all back except one, and that was a co-pilot. And I guess his son must have got the letter and said, my father just passed away about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And then it ended. I figured, well, everybody's, who knows what happened.
Yeah.
So then later on, my daughter and her husband went to San Antonio, Texas. And I knew the pilot was down there someplace. He came from Fargo, North Dakota, but I know he was down in Texas someplace. I says, bring a telephone book home from Texas and we'll get his name. They sure as hell. She calls up Ken Carey. That's the pilot's name. Oh, I know Tony. And then we talk. I talk to him again. And I don't know, how later did we go down to see him?
2003.
How long after we called him?
About a year once the plaque was arranged.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's right. We got in touch with him. And then, we're coming back from Florida. How did we get to Savannah?
You flew down.
No, I mean, how did we find out about that place?
You stopped with Irene.
Oh, yeah, my daughter's got a house in South Carolina. She says, do you want to go to the 8th Air Force Museum in Savannah? So we went down to Savannah to the museum, and then the gardens, they got a bunch. Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't.
They got a bunch of walls, about 20 feet by 8 feet high, with a bunch of plaques of crews of B-17s, 24s, and pilot mm-hmm. names and all that. So it dawned on me, maybe I'll get in touch with a couple of the guys that I kept in touch with, and we'll get a plaque made for the crew. And then I called up the pilot, and he agreed. The son of the co-pilot agreed. I agreed.
And Erlinson's son.
Erlinson's son, right. Four of the crew sons
mm-hmm.
agreed. And we got a plaque. And the day of the dedication, we went down there, and the pilot flew and his wife flew to Savannah. And the co-pilot's son flew in to Savannah, and we went to the dedication of the plaque that we chipped into for the crew. And it's still there. We've been down there a couple times since. But I got to tell you, this one here, we're not the, to go back to the beginning when we were formation flying in, I don't know what we were. Anyway, we were ever staying, we were still in the States. This is before we went overseas. Like I say, the pilot came from North Dakota. He says, you want to see Mount Rushmore? We're formation flying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I said, you're crazy. So that's how we saw Mount Rushmore. Then I had gone with the wife to see it. Like, I took a five-week vacation. I went down there to see it.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you know how many guys are left from your crew? Just two of you?
Me and a pilot. And that
wow.
poor guy's gone blind.
Uh-huh.
He's got that muscular degeneration over the degeneration or something.
Uh-huh.
Can't see too good.
Okay.
But I got a touch of it myself. I don't know.
Okay. Oh, you know what I meant to ask you? When you were overseas, did you live in those, like they call it Nissan or Quonset huts?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And were they pretty cold in the winter?
Well, I don't know who took care of the stove, but we had a stove.
We had a stove.
Either maintenance man. I don't never remember putting coal in it. But
okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever see any USO shows or any celebrities?
Oh, yeah. You had to fight your way in. They were always crowded.
Okay. How do you think your time in the service changed or affected your life?
She said, do you want to go and talk to the kids about it? Well, geez, I went there and Christ, I started bawling, telling them the story of my life and in the service. I said, that's it.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to touch on that we might have missed or anything you'd like to add?
Well, let's see what else. Couple of misses, I guess. Well, I finally got my wife over, got married, had four good kids, three girls and a boy.
Uh-huh.
And they're all doing good.
That's good. Did you ever go back to England?
We went back in 70, I think it was. I said, that I drink this beer. You go on past it, so the first thing you do is grab a obviously drink a couple of beers over there. I couldn't drink. I went back with the wife. I said, I can't drink this stuff. I said, I don't know how I did it.
Now, did you go back to the area where your base was?
No, I didn't. We went, well, my wife and my son, I took my son with me and we saw the Windsor Castle and all the jewels and toured London and we went to see her sister and I didn't even think of the base at that time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we were in the same town, her sister was in the same town as what we used to hit when we used to come from base on Bath, Northampton.
Uh-huh.
Huntington was, I don't know how far away, but that's the town we used to go to.
Okay.
But,
all right. Is there anything else that...
I would like that to mention his 80th birthday trip over to Normandy, France, and Duxford. When you went
okay.
for your 80th birthday.
Oh, yeah. 80th? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm talking about where... Well, when did you get Flynn up here? The 70th?
That was the 70th, and then 2001...
Yeah, they gave me a 70th surprise birthday party. And they had Flynn, the radio man, come up.
Uh-huh.
At that time, you didn't know Kerry, right?
No.
Volturi had, Earl had passed away, and the Waistcon had passed away, so he was the only one I kept in touch with. And he came up, and we did a little celebrating for my 70th birthday. And then my 80th birthday, the kids treated me to a trip to Normandy.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent a couple of days in England, and then we went to France, and we toured the whole coast of France there, Normandy, and Omaha Beach, and I don't know how that poor guys did it. Terrible.
And you got to lower the flag in the cemetery?
Oh, yes. Yes. The instigator there. Well, she had gone previous with her husband, and he got called to load a full flag and lower it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she saw the same manager, or the care, the guy that in charge, and she happened to have me at
Sunset.
When they load the flag, oh, we gotta go see them lower the flag, and sure as hell the guy came over and said, do you want to help me fold the flag? Which was an honor. He says, did you ever fold a flag before? I said, no. This is it, the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for your interview.
Okay. In the States, this happened in the States. I think I saved a pilot, flying three formations, mm-hmm. lead, left wing, and right wing. And you're supposed to go over like that, switch space. Well, I look up on that turret, and there's that plane coming up, and that plane's right above us. And I hollered out, dive, and he dived. And at that time in the States, they used to throw the wheel chocks in the plane
mm-hmm.
instead of leaving them on the runway or where the parking spot.
Where yep.
The, the waist gun got hit in the head with one, with his head right open.
Oh boy.
But we got back. You know, lieutenant or no lieutenant, I said, what the hell are you doing? You know, we're in this plane. A lot of time, wing to wing like this. I said, what the hell, are you crazy? Yeah. Trying to see how close. Well, they tell you in format where combat get close. But we made it. I don't mind now that I made it. Things worked out.
And the tail got her dad who fell asleep?
Oh, well, that's another. We're pulling the raid up to Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're over water most of the time. So we're maybe flying over 10,000 feet, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the target, you go up to higher altitude. Well, I'm in the top turret, and I happen to turn around. There's one lousy German plane right behind us. So I call the tail gunner up. I says, don't you see that guy in the back of us? He said, I was asleep.
Did he shoot him down?
Well, he shot at him, and then the guy peeled right
off. Okay.
The guy peeled right off. But, you know, you don't expect it. You know?
No.
I don't know what we were bombing up at Denmark.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay.